under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion we have on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It is our prayer as we set forth the issues to deal with and discuss some of the issues that are very relevant in the world today. It is our prayer that you are edified, encouraged, educated, inspired, and challenged by the broadcast. And let me remind you, right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That's the telephone number. Your call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical subject today. What is biblical repentance? How does repentance play into salvation? Is there a need to repent to be saved? Or is it, as we're seeing the phenomena across America today, is it just simply being baptized? Let me just simply say, ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave concern about what we're seeing today, and it's been promulgated, pushed, and pressed by many of those 501c3 parachurch organizations, some pastors that are pushing a competition of seeing which church can baptize the largest number of people. That's wonderful if those are all salvation. But my question is, ladies and gentlemen, are we promulgating a delusion across our nation by multitudes of the younger generation lining up simply saying, I want to be baptized? Is there danger in that? If so, what is the danger, and how does repentance play into what we're seeing in that phenomena across America? That's where we're going today. That's the subject. That's the issue. What is biblical repentance? Secondary and subordinate to that, have you repented? Has there been a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction? Not just church membership, not just joining the church, not just being a good person, not just being baptized, not just giving a tithe. That's not what I'm talking about. Has there been true biblical repentance in your life? That's where we're going. That's what we'll discuss today. And it's our prayer that somehow, some way, you'll be encouraged with it. We have with me today, around the round table here in our studio, Dr. Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Dr. Davis, glad to have you come with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to be here, amen, to be able to discuss the Word of God with the family of God on today. And I say family, amen, because through the acts of repentance and sorrow and the other great things and restoration and reconciliation, amen, we find peace with God,
amen,
on today. So this is what I'm so thankful and grateful for. Good morning, amen, to my bride of 39 years. Everyone else I've asked to listen at this broadcast, listen up closely. We want you to be able to draw something positive away from the broadcast today.
Amen. Absolutely. Dr. Phelps is with us. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis are both involved in the teaching and the leadership in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here.
I'm so happy that I could be here today. The Bible says to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And that's Psalm 32, verse 11. I'm so glad that I can be glad and rejoice in God's great salvation, and I'm so thankful today for the measure of health and strength that I have, and that I can be here. I give thanks to the Lord and say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen. And Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis is not seeing as much as we are with that, but the closer we get to 100, the more we are appreciative of every morning we wake up. Amen? I am thankful for that. Dr. Davis still says he's under 100 also, and so I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And I say that because every morning we should rejoice in our eyes being opened and God allowing us to serve him, and we should serve him with joy and thanksgiving. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our thoughts, our decisions, our dialogue and discussion on political, philosophical rhetoric. Our issues as we face them are not based on denominational dogma. Our decisions and our discussion that we have on the issues are not based on denominationalism and what some denomination might think or say. Ladies and gentlemen, it might shock you and you might question it. That's okay. But I've said for many, many, many years, I don't care what Baptists say. I don't care what Presbyterian, Methodist, or any other denomination might have to say. I'm concerned about what the Word of God says. And I believe one of the problems that we find in religious world today, Christian world today, in the church world today, one of the major problems we have is we're so mixed up and twisted up and messed up with what I call denominational dogma that we fail to get down under the layers of that dogma and see simply what the Word of God says. That's what we're wanting to do on this broadcast today, is allow you to examine what the Word says based on the authority of the Scripture, the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good length of time, forever. And so may I say to you, as we look at issues, as we look at what is happening in our city, our state, our nation, our globe, I always encourage you to examine it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? And lest I am redundant, and oftentimes I may be, as we look at the scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, you find God's progressive revelation of himself to man. You find what God has done, what God is doing, and what God shall do. And as we look at the scripture and think on the subject today, what is biblical repentance? It is our prayer that you will start more closely examining and analyzing your word, the scripture, and see what God's word says. I'm looking at a statement by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell says the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not necessarily confined to the political world. That's not necessarily confined to the secular world. That's also found in biblical theological truths. Hear me. There are a lot of people who want to disagree with what the scripture says, and they're holding on to what St. Augustine said, Christian, if you please, religious fundamental founders may have said of yesteryear. They want to talk about what these religious writers have said. I'm interested in what does the Word of God say. We need to stick to the truth. The truth is what Jesus said will set us free, and it's the truth of the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, is we go back to the truth book, the Word of God. There's not a better roadmap. There's not a better guidebook. There's not a better foundation, fundamental directive in all of the world than you find in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And listen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? Where is it located? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reiterate something that I said is a basic, how would you say, thumbnail sketch of where we're going today as we face the issues. We're witnessing across America, and listen very carefully, I want to do a kind of a disclaimer. We're witnessing across America today a great number of people being baptized. Now, I am thankful that we see a move toward God. I'm concerned, however, if this may be a delusion used by Satan to divert the minds and the hearts of multitudes, yea, perhaps millions across America, that think that somehow, some way, baptism will make you right before the Lord. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, baptism is an outward testimony, an outward sign, an outward show of an inward change in the heart. Baptism doesn't wash away any sins. It is showing our relationship to God through Jesus Christ as we follow the Lord in believers' baptism. By the way, we're not covering baptism as the issue today, but I need to touch on this. There are multitudes today, perhaps you're listening, you've been sprinkled. You haven't been baptized. You've been sprinkled. Now listen, that won't change the relationship to God if you've been saved. But once a person is saved, there's a desire to have an act. The first act of obedience is to be biblically baptized. Baptizo means to go under, to be immersed, to be placed in. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through about verse 41, 42. He was reading in Isaiah 53, and Philip said, what are you reading? He told him and explained to him, the scripture says, the gospel, and the eunuch got saved, and then they passed water, and he said, what hinders me from being baptized? And the Bible says they got down off the seat of the chariot, and they went down into the water and came up out of the water. That little word up is the little Greek word ek. You've got to be into ek. You can't say that you've been baptized if you've been sprinkled. Going down under the water and to be brought back up. And Romans chapter 6 indicates that's an indication, that's a sign, that's a show of being dead to Christ, buried in Christ, to be raised up in the newness of life, the scripture says. So baptism is an outward sign. But ladies and gentlemen, there must be some things taking place before baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't wash away an ounce of sin. You can be baptized 492 times and still die and go to a devil's hell without salvation. I think it's time that we understand what is taking place and what is needed for salvation. Again, baptism doesn't save you. Acts 2:38, I'm just going to summarize. Acts 2:38 gives us the steps. Simply put, repent, believe, and be baptized. That's a simple nutshell of what we're talking about today. Baptism is after the recognition of sin, after the repentance from sin, and the request to be saved according to the scripture. And that's what we're going to get into a little depth with today. I'd love to hear from you. I have found Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, when we have subjects like this, the mics get silent. Is it possible that you don't call and ask a question because you do not know how to couch the question? That's okay. You give us a half question, we'll try to give you a whole answer. But the question that we're asking today is, do you recognize repentance? Have you repented from your sin? Are we seeing repentance in America today? Do we see repentance in our churches today? We talk about revival in our churches, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps. We talk about the need to be revived. I think there's a need for repentance, for turning from sin, turning from the old life to the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, some people might feel like this is a foolish question, and I don't want to ask it.
That's right.
Well, I've heard it said that the only foolish question is the one that you don't ask.
Amen, absolutely.
Because you never receive the answer.
That's right.
So we're here. We're not saying we might not have the perfect answer, but we want to put you on the right track.
That's right. Well,
so
as I tell people,
you may be able to get the right answer.
Exactly. As I tell people, I don't have all the answers. I know where to find them.
Amen.
The Word of God has it's the truth book. It has the answers for us.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, when we talk about repentance today, baptism doesn't save. It's the faith, belief, and the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance from sin. We may be witnessing what I call an excitement, a sincere desire to know Jesus, but without biblical recognition of sin and repentance from sin, a person is not saved. So, ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question, how is a person saved? Now, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I'm going to touch on three statements. Then I'm going to toss it to you and let you join in the discussion. Number one, there must be recognition of sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, can you be saved without recognizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Is it possible for a person to be saved and not recognize sin? Secondly, there must be a repentance from sin, a turning from sin. And thirdly, there must be a request for salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, jump in the dialogue and discussion where we talk about three things. There must be the recognition of sin. There must be the repentance from sin. There must be the request for salvation. Can a person be saved without those three things? Dr. Phelps?
One of the great things that I have learned from reading the scriptures is that with the hearing of the gospel of Christ, then God calls us out of doubt to believe. God calls us out of darkness to light.
Amen.
And God calls us out of disobedience to serve him.
That's right.
And more. There's a lot more that could be said there. But God calls us out of a life subject to sin and bondage to sin to freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we respond to God by believing and by turning to him, that's repentance. And repentance is involved in both believing and repenting.
That's right.
They're like the two sides of a coin. They go together. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, we find that the Apostle Paul stated really the essence of his message of the gospel, how it calls us out of the world, out of the life of sin, to serve God. Acts 20, 21. He said concerning his ministry, that he was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So, actually, being saved then means to have a new start in life. It means a turning from all that is evil, turning from all that is going to ruin your life and bring damnation to your soul and spirit, to a life of peace and joy and forgiveness and hope and joy in the Lord.
Amen. And Dr. Davis, that's something that's not a natural thing for a human being to do. It is supernatural for an individual to recognize, I'm a sinner. I need to turn from that. It's a supernatural, divine intervention in the heart and the life of an individual. Speak to that for a moment.
Amen. Well, when this particular thing happens, Dr. Youngblood, we have to realize that the Holy Spirit is at work, bringing about conviction.
That's right.
In a person's life. Now, it takes that. First of all, conviction must happen. You must be willing.
That's right.
Once that conviction happens, to let yourself go. Forget about having control over your own life, over your own decisions, your actions and attitudes, and be willing to realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior.
Yes.
Now, in order for that particular thing to happen, and I realize one of the definitions of repentance is to change your mind. The only way that you can change your mind, you first have to see yourself.
That's right.
You have to look at yourself.
Absolutely.
If we go to the book of Isaiah, and that's a great one I like to use all the time, Isaiah 6, and I'm only going to read verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah said when God commissioned him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See, if you ever see the Lord, you have the opportunity to compare yourself against a holy and a righteous God in all his holiness and exaltation, and to realize how far away you are from being a perfect being like God through your sinfulness.
That's the measuring stick, as I would call it.
So now, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I'm going to read on. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy. That's all they could say about God.
Holy, holy, holy.
They couldn't even take a look at him because with twain, with the two wings, they covered their faces. They covered their feet. They realized that they were in the presence of a holy and righteous God, and they were angels. So what makes us feel that we can approach God all kind of way in our sinfulness and still be in a right standing with him?
Right.
So now he said, they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now listen at what Isaiah said. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Right.
Isaiah realized when he looked at himself how far he was away from God.
Right.
From being a person of perfection. So he said, I'm a wretch undone. You have to see yourself. Look at yourself. Even right now, I don't care if you're a pastor in the church. I'm speaking out to the body of Christ today. That's because, right. Dr. Youngblood, many are living in error today.
Amen.
That's and right. That's why we're here trying to make sure Absolutely. We get this point over.
Absolutely.
They have the wrong conception about repentance, confession, etc., etc., and how to come into a right standing with holy God.
Yes.
I want you to understand who you're serving.
And Dr.
You're serving holy God.
Yes. And Dr. Davis, with that being said, again, my mind goes to what we're seeing as the phenomena in America today. With everybody, I say everybody, that's in general speech, saying, I want to be baptized. Now, it may be that there's been a change of heart. Maybe there's been a change of direction. Maybe there's been a change of life and desire to serve the Lord. But that's not what I'm seeing. In fact, my question, ladies and gentlemen, are the multitudes of thousands that have said, I want to be baptized, in the lineup of sometimes 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 at the time. My question is, how many are in church on Sunday morning? How many have really had repentance toward God? And recognition of sin, and regret of sin, and response to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what concerns me, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps.
But my thing is, Dr. Youngblood, have you looked at God, and have you looked at yourself?
That's the mirror. That's the mirror.
Do you see how far you are missing the mark?
That's right. Absolutely.
See, and pastors need to know this. Let's stop playing with this thing, because people are dying every day and going to a devil's hell.
That's right.
This is serious. This is serious work.
I think this is the reason I'm concerned with the delusion that I sense may be permeating society today. It's bad enough when you see the easy believism in so many churches today.
Amen.
Where there's the mindset that we can still dabble in sin, we can still embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, we can still embrace the abortion murder, etc., etc., and still say we've changed our hearts, changed our lives, changed our directions, and we're saved.
You say it all the time, cotton candy theology.
Cotton candy theology, absolutely.
Praise God.
So Dr. Phelps says the definition of repentance is simply a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of desire, a change of, recognition of God, resulting in turning away from sin and turning to God. And I have made a little marginal note here. Repentance is not just being sorry for sin mm-hmm. or feeling guilty over sin. It's a deep regret for sin. Speak about that.
I would like to mention a passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse number 9, the Apostle Paul was writing to the members of the church at Thessalonica. And we read in the book of Acts how he went there and preached the gospel, and many people responded. Mm-hmm. And he commended the members for turning to God from idols
yes.
to serve the living and true God. As a result of Paul's preaching of the gospel to them, they had turned to God from idols to serve their idol gods. And I believe that's one of the great meanings in that text that explains what repent means.
Absolutely.
In other places in the Scripture, it means to turn to God from disobedience or to serve God.
That's right.
Matthew 21, Jesus told the story of a man who had two sons, and he told one to go work in the field. He said, I go, and he went. He served his father that day. And the next one, he said, I'm going to the field, but he didn't do that. And so that's a good illustration of what it means to really repent. It means to do the will of God from the heart. In Exodus chapter 34:14, the Lord made it clear that worship belongs only to the true and the living God. And there he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, for the Lord who is jealous is a jealous God.
Absolutely.
So worship belongs exclusively to the Lord, and we need to know that idolatry is forbidden. Any form of idolatry is forbidden, for the worshipers of false gods will be consigned to the lake of fire. And so it's important that we come to serve God as a result of our turning to God.
Amen.
As a caution, repent means more than just turning from something.
That's right. Amen.
A person may only turn from pride, and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. But he will soon revert to his prideful way again, because it's not true repentance. You can't put the cart before the horse.
Right.
So we should turn to God, for example, from idolatry, or turn to God from pride, to rely upon the Lord who helps us to live godly. And if we don't follow up with that by turning to God first from whatever we are doing wrong, then we may be then acting foolishly.
Acting foolishly, and not just acting foolishly, but trying to do that in their own strength, own abilities. And Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, there's a directive, I call it, for repentance. The Scripture says that God commands all to repent, Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance of God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So repentance is not an optional thing. It's something a person can't say, well, you know, I'm not going to repent, I'm just going to get baptized. I'm not going to repent, I'm just going to join the church. And that's all it is, joining the church. And the Scripture is very, very clear. God commands it. It's not an option. It's not something that a person can decide I'm going to do or not do. It is commanded to repent if a person is going to be saved. There's a need today to understand the word repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological